VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And Happy New Year. Welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America, our first program of 2022. And folks, we've got a very important topic today. As you see, this Friday, January 7th, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be hearing oral arguments in a special session regarding federal policies pertaining to the shot mandates. So what are the specifics to the case? Who will be impacted? And what are the implications for the nation? We'll be delving into these issues today. Our guest, Matt Staver, returns, the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He is a constitutional attorney, over 230 published legal opinions, 8 scholarly law reviews, 10 books. He has argued before the U.S. Supreme Court. Matter of fact, we'll be arguing later this month before the court. We'll be telling you more about that as well. But Matt, we'd like to welcome you back here to Crosstalk, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, thank you, Jim, and Happy New Year to you and all the listeners.
Well, let's first of all establish the case here for this Friday is more than just a single case before the court, and this is a special session. How often does this happen, a special session? And then we're going to have you tell us about the multiplicity of cases here.
Well, it doesn't happen very often. Obviously, there was one special session that happened last year, and that was the November 1st argument with regards to one of the abortion cases out of Texas with regards to that law. That's very unusual. And then if you go back for a number of years, you have obviously the special sessions that they did with the expedited briefing and oral arguments on the 2000 election cases. But it's not that often. Usually it takes quite a bit of time to get things put in place, but this one's another special session because of the emergencies that are taking place. So the court has actually taken 4 cases for review. They'll be hearing the arguments on Friday, and they fall down into 2 categories. They're all coming from Biden's mandates. One is OSHA, the Occupational Health and Safety Agency that Biden directed to issue this emergency. And that involves this shot mandate on employers that have 100 or more employees. That's one of the 2 cases. The other category of the next 2 cases is on the recipients that have Medicaid and Medicare funding. And that covers many, many health care workers and facilities, including nursing homes, long-term facilities, assisted living, and so forth across the country. And that's coming through the Department of Health and Human Services through a center within the HHS that issued this emergency mandate. There's a third type of mandate that Biden has issued as well. That's not yet before the U.S. Supreme Court, and that's on the federal contractors. But there's a number of courts, most recently one just before Christmas out of Florida, that have blocked that. Although it's not blocked in every state around the country, it's blocked in more than half of the states. So far, he's not doing very well. And actually, we can go into the specifics because the history of OSHA has been pretty abysmal in these kinds of emergency standards that they've tried to impose. Most of them have been struck down. In fact, 5 of the 6 that have been challenged have ultimately been struck down by courts.
I mean, it is no secret. I mean, how I could play clip after clip after clip of President Biden saying, I don't have the authority. We cannot issue federal mandates. But the utilization of OSHA is very much an end around forcing a federal agency to force this upon employers.
Yeah, it sure is. And OSHA's had a very bad history. OSHA has, from the 1970s, and the last one was 1983, issued 9 emergency standards. And they last for, they're supposed to last by law for 6 months, after which you have to go through the normal process. An emergency standard bypasses everything because it's just the agency issuing this particular rule or standard, claiming that it's an emergency and bypassing all of the standard process where you have to publish it, get different kind of response from the public. So you bypass all of that, at least for 6 months. They've issued 9 of those since the 1970s all the way up to 1983. Of those nine, six of them have faced court challenges. Of those six, only one has been upheld. The other five have been struck down. And if you look at those five that have been struck down, they're struck down for very similar reasons as the arguments are in this case. There wasn't a real declared emergency that was sufficiently documented. There wasn't specific reason why you needed to do this in an emergency or very other kind of specific information. None of them have anything to do with requiring people to get a shot or a vaccination. All of them had one thing in common, and for good reason, because OSHA really doesn't have any business dealing with what happens after the work hours or before the work hours. It's based upon some kind of hazardous condition that is specifically relevant and contained within the employment environment. So, for example, if the employees are working around asbestos and they're working in the employment environment, or they're having some other kind of hazardous chemical that can cause cancer or something of that nature, and the exposure to that is only going to be and primarily going to be in the work environment, then you address the issues in the work environment. The problem that you have with this vaccination shot mandate is that it's not relegated and only in the work environment. And because you come into work, it's not a hazard occasioned by work. It's not something specific to a particular workplace, because you can get exposed in other kinds of events or associations. Moreover, by virtue of having this shot mandate, you're going way beyond the time that you clock out and go home. You're taking this with you. In other words, in order to go to work, you're being required to get these shots for something that has not been this immediate emergency, because we've been in this pandemic for months and months, and there was nothing new that just came about that needed to be addressed, and that it's not specific and inherent only to a particular kind of work. They put it across the board. There's never been a mandate across the board like this. So there's so many flaws to it, and so I think it's very clear when you look at these cases that Biden, simply doesn't have the authority to issue these kind of regulations through agencies.
Matt, it was through the Sixth Circuit that this went prior to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I noticed a statement that was written by their chief judge of the Sixth Circuit, Jeffrey Sutton, and he wrote this, quote, "It is one thing," and it just echoes what you just said, "it is one thing to tell a worker to don a mask at the start of a hazard-filled shift and doff it at the end. It's quite another to tell a worker to vaccinate on the basis of a risk that exists, whether he's on the clock or off, and that amounts to a medical procedure that cannot be removed at the end of the shift." I mean, he is just outraged that this is not seen, that the other justices are not seeing this to put an end to it.
That's exactly right. First of all, again, OSHA is supposed to regulate particular hazards in the workplace itself. And you don't have this particular hazard that is specific to the workplace. You can be exposed to COVID by many, many different kinds of reasons and places. But beyond the fact that it's not specific to the workplace, unlike, say, something else that might be where they're using specific hazardous chemicals in that particular workplace, not every workplace uses those chemicals, but this particular workplace, kind of workplace, uses these chemicals. And they're not exposed to that typically outside of the workplace. Here, you have this situation of COVID, and it's not specific to the workplace. But again, he couldn't have put it more clear, the Chief Judge Sutton, that it's unlike a mask where at 5 o'clock or whatever time you clock out, you can take it off and go home. And you don't have to wear it on the weekends or on your free time. This, once you put it in your body, you're taking it home with you.
Yeah.
And that's really a significant difference in problem. And so if you give OSHA this kind of authority, they could do anything. They could tell employers, we're going to give an emergency standard that you need to get the flu shot. or, you know, we're going to give an emergency standard that all schools are going to have to administer the HPV, you know, the vaccination.
Yep. And
of course, you know, you saw a lot of schools try to mandate that. And unfortunately, some young girls took that shot, and now we see the dangers of it.
Yeah. Matt, this was only a three-judge panel from the Sixth Circuit that rendered this decision that's now advanced it. Should this not have gone to the full Sixth Circuit?
Well, that's a good question. It's kind of an odd situation that they have set up with regards to challenging OSHA. First of all, you start at the Court of Appeals rather than at the lower entry-level district court with a single judge. You go right to Court of Appeals with a three-judge panel. Then you move from that to a lottery to another circuit court of appeals. And so it started off at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and then it moved over to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And and that's how some of these have actually progressed. And then it goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But it would seem like, since it's such an important issue and there were multiple challenges, I agree, it should have most likely been convened originally, not as a three-judge panel, but as the entire panel of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. Obviously, they saw what was coming. They see these different challenges happening, and they know this has the Supreme Court written all over it, and that's why I think they should have done it that way, but they didn't. But the good news is it's now before the Supreme Court, and I hope expeditiously they will just strike all of these down across the board.
So we have the Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry said this. He said Joe Biden's medical tyranny must end. Do you agree with the use of that term, medical tyranny, as it relates to this case?
Oh, I do, very much so. I mean, it is medical tyranny. Never before have we had something come out of the federal government that has required all these people across millions and millions and millions of Americans working in these various places, either in employers that have 100 or more, which includes the churches as well. Some churches and religious, certainly colleges, are going to have more than 100 people working for them. No exceptions based upon religious, you know, beliefs like that. But then you also have it on the healthcare workers themselves, and it's just medical tyranny requiring people to get an experimental shot using mRNA technology from two of the three and some other DNA kind of technology that affects your various parts of your body through the experimental injections, which we know now are very, very dangerous. And in fact, over the Christmas holiday, the VAERS report has now exceeded over 1 million adverse events, and it just continues to skyrocket.
Deaths,
so it is medical tyranny.
Deaths over 21,000 right now. Matt Staver is with us today from Liberty Counsel, and we're talking about the special session, oral arguments that are being held by the U.S. Supreme Court this coming Friday to hear cases on the shot mandates. One, of course, is OSHA's mandate upon employers of 100 or more employees. The other would be recipients of Medicaid, Medicare funding, your hospitals and clinics, if they accept Medicare patients, that that they themselves as healthcare workers would be required to get the shot. We're going to have more discussion after the break here, as well as the implications, and what about the military suits that are going on right now? What about the other medical suits that are going on right now, the class action suits against the U.S. government in this regard? So more to come. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long does it take to make oil?
Chris, oil is the altered remains of organic molecules. These are primarily hydrogen and carbon, and after death they can metamorphose into hydrocarbon oil. It doesn't take long. In fact, there are a number of ways to rapidly convert organic material into oil, but all of them are rather expensive and inefficient. However, if water is injected into the organic material, then the process is much more efficient and quick. This reminds me of the great flood of Noah's day, when excessive heat and pressures combined with lots of waters to act on the abundant living things, which were destroyed by the flood. Chris, it all fits. Even the difficult questions like the origin of oil can best be answered from a back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Constitutional attorney Matt Staver with us today here on Crosstalk. Matt is from Liberty Counsel. He is a founder and chairman there. We're talking about the special session of the U.S. Supreme Court that is meeting on Friday, picking up some of these shot mandate cases. As we mentioned, Matt has himself a case before the U.S. Supreme Court. Lord willing, 1 week from today, Matt will rejoin us on Crosstalk. We'll get into the specifics of that case that will be heard later this month before the U.S. Supreme Court. We're talking about the shot mandates. Now, Matt, I know you have a lawsuit on behalf of members of the healthcare industry, members of the military as well, some class action suits going on. Does this case that is before the court on Friday have any implications on these cases that you've been filing suits on?
Well, it's certainly going to have, in the military case, we combine both military members as well as federal employees and federal civilian contractors, all these contractors that are under Biden's mandate. That's the third category of Biden's mandate. And actually, those cases at the U.S. Supreme Court could have a big impact on that, because the argument in our case not only is it violates religious freedom, but also that it exceeds Biden's agency authority under the Constitution. So that could definitely have a big impact on it. With regards to the other cases involving, you know, Maine and New York and some of these other healthcare lawsuits, it won't have a direct impact on it, because this really is going to be dealing more with whether or not they have exceeded their constitutional authority by an agency acting in a legislative manner and not following procedures. So it's not going to have a direct impact. But those cases are still going on. In fact, by this coming Friday, the Department of Defense has been ordered, in our case that we are working on with regards to the military, to now every 2 weeks, beginning this coming Friday, give detailed reports regarding the status of the religious exemption request. And it's not going to look very good for the DOD, because what we know is that we have the first report November 12, and it showed 643 religious exemption request, none of which had been granted, one of which had been denied at the appeal process. Now we have more that are denied, not a single one granted, and more of them are denied at the final appeal level as well, meaning that the only thing left is for them to be discharged and separated and disciplined from the military.
And that's already happening in some cases.
What's that?
We understand there's already some discharges happening.
There's already some discharges happening. The discharges that have been happening so far are those individuals that have refused to get the COVID shots but have not yet submitted a religious exemption.
Okay.
Those that have submitted a religious exemption and their appeal has been denied, they're in the process of getting discharged, but to our knowledge, have not yet been discharged. But they're going through the process of discharge now. And they're actually walking them through the separation, communications, and counseling, and the whole nine yards. And now they're threatening not only discharge, but they're also threatening that they will have to pay back their educational benefits, they'll have to pay back their cost of training, and so many other things. Now, the cost of training is unbelievable, because if you take, say, for a pilot, the cost of training a pilot is between $5 and $12 million, depending upon the aircraft and how long they've been in the military.
Wow. And not only that, but loss of health benefits and other issues too.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
I mean, so they lose their VA, they lose GI loans. They may, if they've had a four-year education, some of them may have had 4 years plus a master's degree, for example, they'd have to pay back all of that. And that's tens and tens. It could be hundreds of thousands of dollars just that. Then you pay back the cost of training, and that's astronomical.
Matt, so the cases are being heard this Friday. How fast will we see a decision from this court?
I think we'll see a decision fairly soon because of the magnitude of the case. They picked him up pretty quickly, but I don't think they're going to wait for these cases until June. Now, here's what we have. You know, we have, with regards to some of these cases, they're states, so it's not going to be a problem if they wait for a while and resolve it later. And that may be what they rely upon. On the federal contractors case, they're not all stayed, but that's not before the Supreme Court yet. So it's stayed or enjoined or blocked in the majority of cases of states, but some of them are still not blocked. And so Biden has said, well, I'm going to go ahead and push it in these other states, which right. don't have court orders yet. But that's not before the Supreme Court. However, some of them before the Supreme Court have been blocked, and therefore they're not being implemented.
So is OSHA's mandate stayed at this point?
OSHA's mandate was the one that started off in Texas at the Fifth Circuit, and that one ultimately got blocked, and then it went over to the Sixth Circuit, mm-hmm. and the stay was and that stay was lifted. So they're wanting to. So in some of those cases, the nationwide aspect of it has been lifted.
Okay, so there is no stay, and so this is why we are seeing businesses that are now reinforcing this while it's in the state of limbo.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, some businesses started to do this enforcement before these mandates came out, and some of them tried to do it as an excuse or said they didn't have any choice after the mandates came out, and they're in flux because of the back and forth of the various courts right now. Right now, the courts, by and large, are blocking these Biden mandates.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. Matt, I'd like to know what's really at stake for the nation here through your legal eyes, because if a business with 100 employees is going to be allowed and forced to do this through OSHA, well, then it's going to be 50 and greater, then maybe 10 and greater, and then it's even small businessmen, small business owners that operate a business, mom and pop stores themselves. What are the implications for this broad scale across the nation?
Well, the implications are total control by the government, and particularly by a particular president, directing the administrative agencies to act at his will, despite the limitations put on them by the Constitution. So it doesn't just stop with 100 employers with 100 employees. You're right, it can go down below that. It can go down to lower numbers if it wanted to. Moreover, it's not just limited to COVID. And it's not just limited to whether you get the COVID shots. It can also be, well, you need to get the booster shot. And, you know, we may be on our 10th booster before you know it. I mean, Israel's already working on a fourth booster right now. It's the epitome of insanity. Let's go ahead and continue to add another booster, even though the previous three didn't work. You know, Israel is about ready to hit like 50,000 cases of active cases, and they're one of the most vaccinated places on the planet. And now they're saying, well, let's roll out a fourth one. So this can go on ad infinitum, and it could be, you know, like I said, for the HPV. Well, let's get all the young girls vaccinated with HPV because they might get the human papilloma virus. Mm-hmm. Or let's get everyone with the flu, the influenza vaccine, from year to year to year. Every time that you go into another year, or different kinds of flu epidemics, you need to get that. And then here's another one coming down the pipe. So it's an endless loop that ultimately is the epitome of medical tyranny.
Matt, we've had people contact us here at Crosstalk and tell us, just get off this issue. We're tired of this. Some people have told us that that they've had the shot, and they accuse guests, you know, like you coming on the program, of vilifying those who've not had the shot. Is that your position? Are you vilifying those who decided to accept the shot?
Absolutely not. I mean, that's somebody's individual choice. I don't think that the shots are safe. I don't think that they're effective. That's my view. I think it's backed up by a lot of medical science and global statistics. But if you want to do something to your body, that's your choice. It's not. I'm not going to vilify you. I think the problem is the opposite. I think the problem is people, I'm not saying people who've gotten the shots are doing this, but I can tell you that certain government leaders are doing this, and they're vilifying people and blaming people for COVID who have chosen not to get the shots, who have chosen to manage their health in different ways. And those people are being vilified because of their choice not to get the COVID shots. I think that's wrong. I think it's also wrong to vilify people who are getting the COVID shots, and certainly that's never been our position, to vilify anybody. That's not our point. Our point is to speak what we believe God has directed us to do, and I think it's pretty clear from the evidence itself that these COVID shots are ill-advised. I mean, you forget about all the statistics for a minute. I mean, there's lots of those, but forget about all those just for a minute. Just take this idea, and this is where I began in March of 2020 when I began warning against these. I'm talking about 2020, not 2021, and that is this. We have two things. Number one, all of these shots, these vaccines, if you want to call them that, I don't think they are typical vaccines. They've had to change the definition to actually fit these as a vaccine. But all of these shots have bypassed the typical process of testing. You cannot bypass that without having significant risk. It takes time to test, and you got to test multiple kinds of people and ages with different kinds of conditions. That was short-circuited. That's a real red flag in itself. The second thing is, this is mRNA technology in Pfizer and Moderna, and that's never been deployed on people. So you add a brand-new experimental mRNA component to something that's short-circuited in time. And I don't really need to look after that on statistics. I just am telling you, based upon that alone, that's a real red flag, and it screams of danger. Now when you start to look outside, well, is it really dangerous? Well, yes, it is, very much so. And is it effective? No, it's not. I mean, you got Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. He's the one who's taking Biden's direction and imposing the shot mandate on all the members of the military. He's gotten the two shots, and he just got the booster shot, and now he has COVID. So, you know, you can say it's effective all you want to, but the reality is it's not.
Mm-hmm. Matt Staver with us here today, and folks, we're going to open our phone lines here to give you opportunity to ask questions of Matt. We're discussing the cases before the Supreme Court this coming Friday pertaining to the shot mandates. And Matt, we know also there's just been a huge controversy regarding children and this shot. But last week, Dr. Fauci acknowledged on MSNBC that every child is tested for COVID-19 when they go to the hospital. For any reason, they get counted as being there with COVID if it's positive. And so what we understand is that there are many in the hospital with COVID as opposed to being there from COVID.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's amazing the different kinds of things that you're coming out with now with the CDC. I mean, and here's something else, some silly thing that the CDC did about a week ago. They said that, well, if you're vaccinated, then you get exposed to COVID. You don't have to quarantine. Well, that's just nonsense. Mm-hmm. If you have symptoms of COVID, even if you have some residual symptoms, you don't have to quarantine. That's just nonsense. People that have these COVID shots carry a viral load, and some of the studies show that they're carrying a higher viral load than people who don't have the shots. It's just a nonsensical situation by the CDC and Dr. Fauci.
Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel with us. Their website, lc.org. /vaccine. You'll find a lot of information there. lc.org/vaccine. Our lines are packed. We'll come back to your calls here in just a moment. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Imagine if you could change society's stance on abortion.
How do you feel about the issue of abortion?
I think in some situations it can be necessary.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
Would you ever vote for someone who was for the killing of children in the womb?
No.
I believe in someone's right to choose.
So you're going to change your stance on it?
Yeah, it's definitely making me think, yeah.
What was the compelling question to change people's minds on abortion? From Ray Comfort comes the DVD 180.
180.
Featuring street interviews in which people who were pro-abortion changed 180 degrees to pro-life.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
180 is available for a donation to VCY of just $5. 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD 180.
Matt Staver is with us here today from Liberty Counsel. Our lines are packed, but in just a moment we'll be picking up calls. And as soon as you hear somebody hang up, that will be your opportunity to call. Write down the number. It's 800-733-9829. Just before picking up that first call, Matt, I know that we've got...
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
Okay, it looks like we have lost our guest here, so... We're going to get Matt Staver back here momentarily. Somehow we got disconnected there. But friends, write down our number. You can call here momentarily. But again, go to lc.org. If you want facts and information on so many aspects of this, go to lc.org/vaccination. Okay, Matt, we got you back with us?
Yes, I'm back. Sorry, okay. We got cut off there.
Yeah, no problem. So, Matt, just before we pick up this first call here, one of the things we're noticing, I see that in the city of Milwaukee, for instance, they have closed in the height of all of this, closed down urgent care centers. Other hospitals are closing down or having to shrink the number of ICU beds because of COVID. We've seen all these hundreds and thousands, actually thousands of flights canceled around the country due to COVID. But this comes after there's been a whole lot of people released for refusing the vax.
Yeah, let's look at the healthcare first and then go to the airlines. But, you know, you look at the healthcare and you got Biden's mandate for all these healthcare workers to get the shot. Well, a lot of healthcare workers have said no. They said no for reasons that are based upon the sincere religious beliefs that these shots are using aborted fetal cells in their testing and or development phase. They said no because they've actually treated people that have been injured. And you talk to many, many people in the healthcare industry and they're going to tell you the same thing. People that have been injured because of these shots, as a result of these shots, they don't want to inject that same thing. So they're leaving. They're either being terminated or they're leaving at a time when we need our healthcare workers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you have this Omicron that's contagious, and you already have a shortage of healthcare workers because of these mandates. So it's not because they don't have enough physical beds, it's that they don't have enough physical people there to manage the patients, to manage the beds. So it's a crisis that they brought on themselves, and we can see that in Maine and New York. Even before Omicron came down the pipe, when they imposed those mandates there for the healthcare workers in Maine and New York, the governors of both states said, well, we'll just call out the National Guard to take up the slack. Well, the National Guard's not going to be able to take up that huge slack.
Yeah.
Now let's look at the airlines. United Airlines was the first airline before the mandates to actually impose this mandate. And there's a lawsuit pending against United on behalf of the employees. Well, look what happened to United. United has been one of them that's been hit hugely. And now what they're doing is they're saying, we're going to do triple pay, 3.5 times, and then through January 3 for pilots to fly, you get 3.5 times your pay. And then after that, through January 31, we're going to give you triple time. So we'll pay you 3 times as much your hourly rate or your salary. Why? Because they have a shortage of pilots. Why do they have a shortage of pilots? It's not just because of Omicron. It's because some of those pilots have left because of their mandates.
Mm-hmm.
But then let's look at Omicron. United boasts, and they said, well, you know, they were like, well, we can basically manage this and force people to get these shots, and the few people that they say are not going to get it, it's not going to affect us. And they would brag, well, we've got 96%, 98% of our people that are, quote, vaccinated. Well, guess what? Those shots are not protecting against Omicron or subsequent infection to COVID. And if they were, you know, just take that as an example. If they were actually effective, Jim, we wouldn't have the flight cancellations because these airlines are boasting that so many of their employees, they've forced them to get the shot, and they have a high percentage. So where's the problem?
Yeah.
The problem is the shots are not working. The problem is imposing a shot that doesn't work, that's harmful to people, that flies in the face of religious objections on people and terminating them if they don't comply. All that's insanity.
Let's go to the phone lines, and we're heading first to a caller from New Zealand. Joshua, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hello, Brother Jim and Brother Matt. I've actually got a question about the military mandateness in your class action lawsuit. Could you please provide us some updates on that and whether or not the people are going to get their religious exemptions?
Yes, I can. This Friday will be the beginning of the two-week reporting requirement by the DOD. So by Friday, end of day, the Department of Defense has to report on all the different religious exemption requests of all the different military branches. That's been ordered by the federal court. When the court issued that order in November, I said two things will happen. One, either the Department of Defense and the military branches will comply and start issuing religious exemptions to avoid an injunction, or they'll dig their heels in and they'll continue to deny them as they had before, and the court will ultimately order them to give these exemptions. They've chosen to dig their heels in, and they haven't granted a single one, so it's not going to look very good. Next week, after we get this report on Friday, early next week, we will be asking the court to convene another hearing, which the court has actually indicated it would, if we requested it, and we will, and ask for the court to issue the injunction. And I think that's where we're going to get the injunction, based upon this continued belligerent attitude of the Biden Department of Defense denying all these religious exemptions.
We've got Ed calling from Spencer, Tennessee. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Can those people that didn't take a jab and lose their jobs, now if the Supreme Court strikes down the mandate, can these people regain their jobs?
That's possible. I would encourage all these people that did lose their jobs to go back and tell the employer that they want their jobs back. Now, some of these people, they don't want to go back to these places of employment, but other people do want to go back. And so those that want to go back, I would demand that they get rehired again. Because what ultimately happened is that these employers did something by imposing this shot mandate that was ruled unconstitutional. And I think that's what we're going to find. I think the shot mandates will be struck down at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Julie in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment that I really agree with what Senator Rand Paul said, and I can't quote him exactly, but something to the fact that these mandates are an act or forced act of submission. And I totally agree with that. We shouldn't be, you know, forcing the American people to do something that they're not comfortable doing. And one other point is that I find it hard to, you know, understand why the federal government is so strong on getting mandates when why don't they get better at providing the medicine that we need for the healing?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been saying that for so long. I agree with 100% of what you've been saying. How many things have you heard from the CDC or the FDA about taking good care of your health? How many times have they said anything about nutraceuticals like vitamin C, vitamin D, quercetin, other kinds of supplements that you can take to build up your immune system? You've heard nothing about that. And then you have other medications that are in existence that have been safe and effective, like hydroxychloroquine, HCQ, ivermectin, and there's others. And you hear virtually nothing about that. In fact, there's opposition to it, when in fact the studies are pretty clear. And the information is pretty clear that these have been very effective at early treatment.
Thank you, Julie. Great point. Greg is next in Bloomington, Illinois. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Well, we've seen in the media and whatnot, actually, we haven't seen in the media, but folks have been talking about the effects of this vaccine and the detrimental effects of it. I had an interesting debate with a lady in social media regarding her position was if somebody did not get this vaccine and then they got COVID, that the hospital should turn away treatment from them. And then when I countered, well, if somebody gets the vaccine and then they have the detrimental effects, should they be turned away? Obviously, she didn't have a response for that.
Yeah.
So there is a double standard going on with the treatment regarding these vaccines.
Indeed.
Oh, and by the way, Jim, I ask that you continue.
I agree.
Great. Thank you, Greg.
Very good.
No, I agree with you. There is definitely a double standard, and we're working. In fact, we're drafting letters right now as we speak one of our attorneys is, regarding people who are being denied organ transplants who have been approved, but they don't want to get these COVID shots, or the donor doesn't want to get the COVID shots, and they're being removed from the donor list, even though they've been approved, even though it's a brother-sister. We've got a brother-sister combination, one being the donor, one being the recipient, all of which have been approved. Now they get denied the organ transplant because they don't want to get the COVID shots.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, that's abusive and it's inhumane. Yeah.
Greg, thanks for the call. Sarah in Appleton, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just wondering how we specifically can be praying for this.
For the court case?
For the court case?
Yeah.
Well,
I would
just pray that the judges, the justices at the Supreme Court and the clerks, because they're clerks, but they're attorneys that work for the judges and the justices, have wisdom and ultimately do the right thing to follow the Constitution. Because these are very, very significant issues, and it's way, way, way beyond these COVID mandates. If the government can get away with these emergencies like this and micromanage what happens in the workplace that's not relevant to the workplace, and tell people that are in the healthcare industry to get these shots or get whatever it may be, then we really have no constitution, and it really is up to the whim of whoever's there pulling the shots and telling us what to do. It becomes like a kingship, a dictatorship.
Yeah.
So it's a huge issue that's at stake.
Thank you, Sarah. Susan, Clintonville, you're on the air.
Hi, I just had some information. My son recently came home and was forced to get the shot from the National Guard. Apparently, they will not mandate him to get the shot, but they will not allow him at drill, which leaves him AWOL for a lot of weeks, and then no flying, no hunting, no guns.
Yep, that's what we're seeing, and all that's going to be before the court next week, as we've been compiling additional information from people that we've got declarations and other information that's going into the court record in the next few days. But you're right. They're saying, well, if you don't get the shot, then you can't go on to your deployment. And if you don't do your deployment, you're having dereliction of your duties, and therefore you're subject to termination, separation, all the other punishment. It really is the most abusive thing that I've seen, and those are words coming to us from people in the military, colonels and others, chaplains, all different kinds of ranks that are saying they've never seen the kind of abuse against the men and women of the military as they've seen with regards to these COVID shot mandates.
Thank you, Susan.
Can he still join the lawsuit if he was forced to get the vaccine?
Well, here's what we have. The lawsuit is requesting we have a number of plaintiffs that are specific plaintiffs, but we're also requesting a class action certification. The judge will rule on that in the near future. If the judge accepts that class action, then anybody who's in the category of the military can be a part of it.
Susan, thank you for the call. Up against the break, Matt Staver with us on Liberty Council. We'll take more calls right after the break. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. You'll find a lot of info at lc.org/vaccine, lc.org/vaccine. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The death rate for those aged 18 to 64 has risen to historic levels of 40% over pre-pandemic levels. This is according to the CEO of the Indianapolis-based insurance company, One America. He said, quote, "We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have seen in the history of this business, not just at One America," said Scott Davison, head of the $100 billion insurance company. He said this company of theirs has been around since 1877. He said this is huge. This is a real problem. The question is, what is causing this 40% increase in the death rates among 18 to 64-year-olds? Could it be the COVID shot, this experimental RNA gene therapy? You decide. But the evidence is coming in. I'm Brandon House.
Matt Staver is with us here today on Liberty Council. We're discussing the cases before the U.S. Supreme Court in a special session this coming Friday that's going to have ramifications across this nation. And taking your calls here today on Crosstalk, let's go to, holding the longest, Brad in West Allis, Wisconsin. You're on the air with Matt Staver.
Hey, brothers. Just wanted to bring something to everybody's attention here. Regarding this childish name-calling we hear from people who don't take the jab. They take it, and then they think they're above everybody else who hasn't, while they're spreading it around through the shedding process, and then they call us names like murderers because we won't take the death jab. Well, if we're murderers, so are the members of the U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, the administration, the Muslims, and the illegal aliens. They're all exempt.
Yeah.
So if we're murderers, so are they. Now, does anybody know if members of individual states' legislatures are exempt?
I don't know if individual legislators are. I'm sure that there are many that are, because there's many that are more freedom-oriented and really believe like what most people mm-hmm. believe, and that is it's an individual choice. This is your choice. It's not the government's choice. It's not the employer's choice. It's not your commander choice. It's your choice. It's your choice what to put in your body.
You know, Brad, you point out it's really that double standard. I mean, for Congress to act the way that they are in the Biden administration, yet members of Congress and their staffs are exempt from this, as well as those who are entering our country illegally. That yeah. they're not even questioned on this. They're not tested. They're not required to have this jab that's being forced upon the American people.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's part of the course for the Marxist.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, and you know the request to have the members of Congress exempted came from Nancy Pelosi to Joe Biden.
Rob is calling from Marshfield, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Rob.
Hey, I had a question about theirs. I thought I had read or heard somewhere that only a small percentage of adverse reactions are actually reported to theirs.
Yes.
And I've also heard that some doctors are being discouraged or threatened if they do report some of these adverse reactions. If all this is true, is this going to have any impact on these lawsuits, and are we actually going to know the true numbers of these reactions?
Thank you.
We won't know the true numbers to the reactions. Yeah. I can tell you what we do know is what's clearly in theirs, and then there's also a European equivalent to it that also is very startling. And the numbers that are in theirs are very, very startling. I mean, they're just unprecedented to anything that's ever happened before in our history. And that historically, up until COVID, represented about 1% of the actual with regards to vaccine injuries. And I don't know if there's 1% or less or a little bit more than 1% that is being put into theirs, but I do know that it is a small number that's actually being put into VAERS, and yet the numbers that we're seeing in VAERS are startling, beyond anything we've ever seen like this before for any kind of medication or vaccine that has been rolled out. And the reason why that you don't see the numbers in VAERS to be a true representative is, how many times have you heard the FDA or CDC educate people about VAERS?
Right.
You haven't.
Right.
Many people in the healthcare industry don't know anything about VAERS. When they try to input something into VAERS, it takes a long time to do it. They don't have time to do it all. Sometimes when they get to the end of it, they push send, and everything just simply disappears. We've also heard from many people in the healthcare industry that they've been discouraged by the administrations of their hospitals and other places from entering information into theirs, thinking that if you do that, it's going to discourage other people from getting these COVID shots. I know a lot of people who have been injured with regards to these shots, and they're not entered into theirs. Mm-hmm. I know that people have died that have died from the shots, and nobody has entered them into theirs. So say, for example, if you go down to your local drugstore and you get this COVID shot, who's going to know that that person got the COVID shot when they just die of a heart attack and they don't wake up in the morning? So there's a lot of those things happening that are not entered into theirs.
Thank you for the call. And again, as of December 24th, Christmas Eve, over 1 million adverse effects now reported, over 21,000 deaths, over 10,000 heart attacks, over 22,000 myocarditis, pericarditis, over 35,000 permanently disabled. Let's go next to Kevin in Dover, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Go ahead, Kevin.
My question was, well, my comment was, is that on the news, all the news that I hear, that they say that it's not supposed to keep you from getting the virus. It's supposed to keep you from maybe getting into intensive care and overloading our health system and all that stuff. So that's all the comment I had with that. And, you know, I haven't yet to get it yet, but, you know, I think about getting it and, you know, sort of trying to still decide on it. You know, I'm still mm-hmm. on the fence, sort of.
Great. Thank you.
Well, you know, they say that, it's not going to originally, they said it's going to protect you. Then they realized, well, the data says it's not protecting you. Then they say, well, you're going to have it less severe. Well, the data doesn't support that either. It doesn't support that anywhere around the world. It doesn't support that you have the COVID symptoms less severe because you had the shots. In fact, in some places like Israel, the majority of people that have been infected are those that have had the shots versus those that have not had the shots. The most affected were, number one, those that had two shots. The second was those that had three shots, and the least affected were those that had nothing.
Thank you for the call. We don't have time for any further calls. We're less than 45 seconds. Matt, what would you like to leave with the listeners here pertaining to the case on Friday?
Well, pray for the case on Friday. It's a big case, and, of course, they'll be arguing it Friday, and the vote will come by the court. We won't know what it is shortly after. Then it goes into the writing phase. So pray for it to be a good victory striking down these mandates. I mean, at the end of the day, it's unconstitutional, and we need to respect the Constitution and respect freedom.
You've got a lot of info on your website on this topic.
Yeah, we do. LC.org, LC.org/vaccine is one. LC.org/exempt is another. /exempt. LC.org/exempt and /vaccine.
Great. Well, Matt, thank you for carving out the time to joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And folks, Lord willing, Matt will be back with us next Monday because he himself will be before the U.S. Supreme Court in a case here pertaining to Boston, what's going on there as it relates to the flying of the Christian flag. Well, thanks for joining us here today with a reminder of praying for the justices this Friday. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.